news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at RevolutionRadioFreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
All right, we should be on the show.
They play. Listener supported here at Rev Radio. This really is the number one place to, I don't know, hear the voice of what we feel like it, going through all this crazy stuff. I guess we are the referees, right, Scott? In a way. Well, we're observers, maybe. Referees, I don't think I can make the call and it's fixed.
You can't make a call. I mean, they don't have to listen. Nobody's listening to us.
Oh, but, I'm a ref. I like that title. That's cool. I'll be a ref.
Yeah, we could always make the call still. So I call foul. Foul smelling and all that, too. I guess that's the way the beast does it. The worst smells with it. But I kind of think the way this is going, it's funny because like a lot of people have said in Rev Radio and stuff that Trump has written this executive order a couple years ago, and it says that if the media is involved in the like offshore, you know, finagling with the election, they have to forfeit all of their holdings. What do you think of that, Scott? We could take over the media.
I'll tell you what I think of that. I'd like to see him pull stuff like that and just redo the whole election. That's what I think we need. But I'm skeptical. But,
skeptical? Yeah.
I don't know if he made an executive order. And let's just say he did. I'd just like to see where that one went. That would be a classic. You know, I mean, would anybody enforce it? Would they have to?
Would they, well, you know? What's interesting is I knew before that executive order that our counts are counted offshore and stuff. And so it's kind of strange. It's like, you know, something should have been said before the election if it makes a difference like it does.
Yeah, but we talked about that on the show, and I've either heard it on round tables or talked about it a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago. But recently, you know, like when we're thinking, you know, why do we even have an election, especially like they're, you know, dropping laptops at the last minute and stuff. You know, like we should have brought that up too, because really we're supposed to have, like, especially in America, something that's like, you know, it really counts. Something that, you know, you put out there for the world to see that, you know, we have some respect. Dignity, I think he called it.
Dignity. I mean, who even believes anything that just happened? And really, why do we have that type of a system that it's gotten so advanced at fooling us that it's mostly advertising and no real, like, guts or, results?
You don't even need to analyze. You don't need to analyze anything technical about this. All you need to do is watch Biden speak, and you know this whole thing is a scam. I said, I just watched him. He was talking about. He said 6,000 military have died from COVID so far, and he's just going off this list. And he's saying like 1,114 people were
killed. This is his like. That, you know, what is important to him.
He's trying to read this stuff off a piece of paper. And make a long story short, he doesn't even know what the F he's saying. But he's not, I mean, come on. I mean, even if you made a mistake, you know, you would know that 6,000 members of the military didn't die from COVID. So I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, it would be pretty obvious. Somebody else would know besides him.
Yeah, and the DNC, I don't know if it was a campaign committee or whoever these people were, they just said, he made a mistake. He was really talking about something else. But, you know, he said military. I mean, I'm just saying, it's just absurd. It's the absurdity of this. So I don't know what's going to convince me.
Is that, you know, like on his side, he can say anything and get away with it. And on Trump's side, you can't get away with anything.
I'm just talking about being coherent, man. I'm not talking about telling lies or truth.
Did the president ever get respect yet?
No, never.
Okay. And did the media really do anything that was legal? Like, I mean, really, they kind of like acted like advertising more than they acted like unbiased.
They're going straight to hell. They're going to freaking communist hell.
I heard a thing about Kennedy on Fox, and it was like the commentator or whatever you call those people, you know, was giving him, or she was giving him a hard time about everything. That's not true. And then she was lying the whole time. Yeah. All kinds of statistics and stuff. And now he's going to sue her for the way she was interrupting him, like acting like he was.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, well, you know, like, that's the joke of what's going on here, you know, like, if you try and make a point, the bad guy, you know, actually makes you look bad, and then they've got the money behind it, and they kind of drag you through a little bit, and then, you know, hang you out to dry.
Yeah.
Don't look so good anymore. And none of it's true, you know, like, that's what, you know, like, prove anything that they've got on Trump, right?
Terrible. I just saw an interview with a guy, a postal worker. He's an Iraqi veteran. He served in two different wars, and he works for the postal office. He's actually, anyway, make long story short, he reported to his boss that he saw some weird shit going down with the votes, right, with the envelope picking up or some kind of deal went down. And the FBI interviewed him, and at the end of that day, they released him. He's on some kind of leave and with no pay. Those things are sorted out. So in other words, they can this guy.
For going against the narrative.
For reporting other employees for election fraud. And he saw it going down. So that's the state. That's the state of the media. That's the state of our government, CIA, FBI. We're screwed.
Right.
We are screwed.
Well, it shows you like how in business, if you say anything, the rest of the business is against you because you're kind of making the business look bad. You know, if you're revealing things that you should have revealed to your boss first instead of the media. The media hides it anyway, unless it's like so out there that everybody's already got the information.
You know, could Trump really be that bad? I mean, they just tortured for years.
I think they proved what America really works like. If they don't work together, there's no way to get anything done. So what we have is the wrong way of doing business, and really, you know, like, it's a businessman too. So it really looks stupid on us. Like, we don't have a real republic, is that what we're supposed to call it?
Yes, a republic.
And it's not by the people. It's not our choice. It's not what we would like it to be like. And really, it's a shame, because America is such a great idea, and it should have worked, because we're really tired of being under control. And it's not like out of control is a bad thing. You don't need somebody to tell you what good and bad is. You can feel that. So you don't need rules to make good people. You just need good people, so you don't need rules. And really, what makes bad people is like a shortage of things. Like, you'll see it soon. And it's a shame when you think America is the land of plenty. So there's no excuse for this.
Doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense.
And
it is a land of good and plenty.
And the other thing is, like, manufacturing, where it costs too much to do it here. And then we get pissy about doing it somewhere else. And it's like, come on, people. Can't have it both ways. You know, like, I'm not supporting China, but we're supposed to work together somehow. You can't just give them all of our knowledge, make it easier for them to ship things here than we can, and then sit here and fight over who's got more to offer, you know?
Like, it doesn't make sense that we need to make things here, ship it there, and get wrapped, packaged, you know, processed, and then ship it back here. There's just something wrong.
Because America can't do things cheap. Like, we're so privileged.
That's what people think.
I'm just saying, that's what people think. Like, they talk about how many dollars in a day or something in other places. They put nets so that people can't jump off the roof and get out of work. And really, I think that those are all stories, you know, like, it could be totally opposite. What do we know? And the funny thing is, they're probably told stories about how crazy we are.
Yeah. No, I gotta say, I was reading about, you know, riots in the cities back in the 60s, and the 60s were pretty turbulent. I mean, even like 61, 62, well, it peaked in like 67 was really bad. 66 was bad. 67 was real bad. 68 was like 110 cities were burning, were actually having like riots. 110 cities in the United States.
Well, we were still supporting the war, and nobody was being believed, like, you know, what we said.
Yeah, but I want to get to my point here. It's like, that was pretty bad, all right? But what's really disturbing me now, really, I'm actually disturbed about this. Not many things get me. And this is it. Like, some of our major cities boarded up their business districts, you know, their high class, you know, just business districts in the center cities on election day, or the day prior to, you know, whether they prepared for riots on an election. That's the most, like, as turbulent as the 60s were, to me, this is more disturbing. Just the idea that's the potential. Scary, isn't it? Potential?
I think it was an obvious distraction for the fraud that was happening in Philly. And I don't know what to think of things like that. You know, like, why did Philly have, you know, riots and things the week of the election?
Symbolic.
Any sense?
It's very symbolic. My kids are all like, God bless Philadelphia. Philadelphia, where the country started again. You know, they're all getting all kinds of patriotic.
Oh, they think this is patriotic because they stole the election.
Yeah. Honest to goodness, man. That's what, and they're not the only ones. I'm hearing it all over.
If it wasn't a steal, you know, like, I want something real. I'm so tired of America saying it's all that, and then you find out that you don't even know the truth behind it. Like, what is the history that we've been taught that, you know, like, so we're so perfect and nobody else is? Who would believe that?
Well, I thought we were pretty hot back when I was a kid watching Cowboys and Indians.
We did think we conquered the world at one point there. Right?
Went outside, I was like, I'm the king.
But you see, that's what we were brought up like, and, you know, we didn't know any else. So, you know, like, what if we're just computers and we only know what we're programmed? You know, just a blank memory until you put something in it.
Well, you know, everyone experiences something different. Like, you've got siblings, all your siblings, and it's like, everyone is totally different. Like, not totally, but is different. Every experience is different. So you could be a program, and you react to your data that's fed to you. Because everyone has a different moving forward.
Yeah, and that program's built on the senses that you have and the things that somebody put in you to, you know, make those conclusions. The question is, how much of it is your choice? Like, you know, what you think instead of what you're programmed to think.
The narcissistic me, my spirit, that's the true me. Everything else is brainwashing.
True you is what you think like, and it's not like what other people think. You want to be different. So that's kind of what some of the conflict is with others. And it's not an ego thing. It's more like you just want to be different. Like, you, all life wants to be something new, something more than it's been. Wouldn't that be the real goal? Like, to, you know, do something a little bit more, at least.
Sure, always do something more.
Can we get to the point where we think everybody's capable, and our problem is what we were taught, that, you know, some people are different? Like, you'll have interests of what you're capable of anyway. So look at all we could be doing instead of saying how much we can't do. And it's interesting to say that somebody is lazy or something when you have 100 years to do something with it. Who would really want to be lazy? Like, isn't life more about an accomplishment, like, to do something with it?
Sometimes lazy is relative, though. You know,
to what people say about you.
Yeah, I just want to, like, an example. Just let's say I should be taking out the trash, right? You know, playing the trash list tomorrow. But I sat there on my freaking ass and I just played guitar half the day, and I watched a football game, and, you know, maybe had a beer, like $20. The point is, I forget to do the trash. It's I'm not really lazy, you know.
When you do it 2 or 3 weeks in a row, yeah.
There you go. Who does that?
I think it happens. I remember it happening. You know, one day a week, you got to remember something, you know.
But I'm just saying, you know, I mean, there's different ways of looking at, like, lazy.
Yeah, lazy is really hard because your mind's going all the time anyway. You're probably busy on something.
Yeah, and just one more thing. It's like the Beatles, like Aunt Minnie. I just went like Aunt Minnie. She thought that they were lazy. You know, they were just like sodding off, screwing off. And, you know, they weren't lazy, were they? They were actually pretty intent on what they were doing. Interpretation of what lazy really is. Depends who's calling you lazy. But remember, you made a statement. And I remember this like for 50 years. And it was, I am what you think I am. You know, it's like, it really is the truth.
Yeah, I can't change what you think. It's up to you.
I know. It's like, and that keeps me pacified. I get through life on that one. That's one of the ones that gets me through.
Yeah, and that's the same thing about, you know, you can think of all these things that people could do, but you can't suggest anything, because if you do, then it's you that told them to do it, and they really want to do it themselves. They want to, think for themselves. They want to, you know, be interested in something themselves, especially a girlfriend. You know, like, if it's like you can't suggest anything, can you? Because then it's you. You told me to try that.
You shouldn't really suggest things because I just get yelled at sometimes when I do that.
Yeah, it takes away their choices because now you told them that you should.
Yeah. I have to laugh, man. I'm old enough to know better, but I'm most of the time I'm on defensive when I'm suggesting something.
Just to save your butt.
No. I should try to do something constructive like this.
To save it.
Well, dear, you're mentally flawed. I have a suggestion. Maybe you should do this next time you go out in public.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a winner, isn't it? That'll score points.
Did you ever do that to her? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, God, I've done that all my life.
Oh, I thought that was done to you. That's what happens to men, right?
No. See, I suggest things, but women tell me. It's not.
Oh yeah, they think for themselves, right?
Oh yeah. It's like I don't know. It's like when they say "I think," blah, 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 blah. It's pretty much like "I know." I think it's a trick. Dog and pony show or something.
They're waiting for your input after that.
Yeah. I think.
That's it. Yeah,
I think you should get up off your ass and take the trash out.
Oh, you think?
Well, I am what you think I am.
Well, that's what, you know, your parents do to you. You know, we're supposed to be, getting away from that kind of thinking. You know, where you give children some kind of life to choose. It's not about what the parents want them to end up like.
I had some revelations this weekend about parents. Yeah, I figured out what happened to me.
That?
I mean, you can't. What do you have? Like five brothers and sisters? I mean, what was the deal with you?
I've got six, so three of each. No, maybe.
So seven. You had magic number seven.
Yeah, seven altogether. Four sisters and two brothers. So three boys. Yeah, pretty balanced.
Who's the middle?
What's that?
Who's the middle? Like there was the three older. It's an even number, right? Six or seven?
Yeah, seven.
So who's the one in the middle? There was three, then one, then the fourth. Who's the fourth one?
Oh gosh, I think it's Patrice or something. Yeah, that would be in the middle.
Cool.
Yeah, she's the one that went the furthest away, probably.
Anyway, my point was, it's like my parents. I have two brothers, so there's three of us. I'm the youngest. Real quick here, so there's a boy is born, and my dad's like, you know, very competitive. He wants sports, blah blah blah. And he's pushing him to play sports, and he's just not into it, you know. And they have a tough relationship, and then it's right. So he's like a mama's boy, and then the next one, Mitch, right? He's born, and he's like. He's like a little phenom. He's really good. He's very athletic, you know, does some special things.
Yeah.
And it's my dad. He's like the apple of my dad's eye, you know. So that just kills my older brother, Luke, you know, Rick, because
and that's, you know, why he excelled at things, too.
Well, they're totally different, you know, but it's the same reason where Rick would have problems, you know, like, whatever. They were at odds. Him and my dad were always at odds, okay? And where Mitch could. Mitch was like, oh, Dad, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? Oh, my God, Dad, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
Tell me what to do, Dad. Tell me what to do. What can I do for you? Anyway. you know, and he was good. And my dad was into, you know, whatever. Okay, then I came. Right. So my mom had her mama's boy, and my dad had his kid, right? And then I came along. And I was really raised by those two.
By the boys, know? Yeah.
Because both parents were working full time, you know, and I really spent. Yeah, Rick was 8 years older, and Mitch was 4 years older, you know, closer to five and closer to nine.
Yeah, older your parents were both working, yeah.
Right, so it's, and so the dynamics of each of us are incredible because, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see the difference even, so it's funny how it works.
So
that's
why
you're so independent, too. Like, you didn't end up like either one of the other two.
Not, no. So I have both, the fun good one, because the athletic one, right? He's left-handed, I'm left-handed, and I'm good at sports, man. I'm old now, but it's like I had good reflexes, and except for basketball. I stuck to basketball. Anyway,
were you tall enough? Like this?
No. I like throwing a football. I could nail you on the run, man. I could lead you. Yeah. I mean, I had the 3D and I had the touch. I had the feel. Basketball, I could throw a ball, put it through a hoop. Never got the depth first. I just never got the depth first. No, shaped like a whatever. I could probably throw a football into a right.
Well, we didn't have basketball courts as often as they do nowadays, and so.
Oh, point being is, I got that all that stuff from my brother Mitch, and the music, and the reading, or just edumacating myself. That would come from my oldest brother Rick.
Well, he ended up being a teacher, right?
Yeah. Anyway, not that. I was analyzing myself, you know, because my son, when you have a custody of your parent or something, whatever, just take it away. If I can't even think of that, I'm nothing.
Did you say custody of a parent?
Yeah, there's when you're
power of attorney or something.
Thank you, power of attorney. Okay,
yeah.
And anyways, mom's this is my ex-wife, and his mom has dementia. And she's like really out of it. The guy
that's
not taking care of her, and he wants to divorce his he wants to divorce this guy. Getting nuts, man. You know. Because what, he thinks he can pull. Yeah, he wants to get his mom away from this guy.
Oh, his influence or something.
Yeah, that's
well, that's an interesting case when you think about it. You know,
it is, and I'm torn about it because it's like, you know,
because he could be taken advantage of her, and then, you know, in that condition, the children are the only ones that can protect her.
Well, he's not taking care of her. I mean, like, she's in the same clothes week after week because my daughter-in-law is telling her to give her a bath or a shower or something.
Well, that's why they need a power of attorney, so they can do more for
her. So he's trying to do something, and he wants the guy to...
You just get out of their way.
It's like you're telling the guy, it's like, want to split the estate in half and get on with your life. All right? And the guy's saying, well, don't screw off. You know, it's whatever. But so I'm, you know, it's like, just to me, it's simple. It's like, you know, you just have to get her, either he supplies a full-time nurse or something, or a coming, you know, failing nurse, or they put her in a nursing home. You know? But it's like,
yeah, it's a strange situation when you get to that age when you should be taking care of the other person as best you can.
But I put myself in that position. I said, if one of my kids tried to came up to me and said, we're divorcing you. Yeah, time to go. We're divorcing you. You know, or even just on the same look. Anyway, I would say, get away from me. Just get away from me.
Well, because you would think it's your choice over them because they're younger or something. But in the situation, it might be the only protection his mom has, right?
I think the only protection she has is to get some agency. Oh, I mean, come on, aren't there like a million and one like different political or government agencies that attend? I mean, is this welfare deal this kind of stuff?
I doubt it.
Someone must deal with seniors who are. They have
laws against like getting over on seniors and stuff, taking advantage of them.
Whatever.
Like it happens a lot.
But he said he's got lawyers. He's talked to lawyers, and he can actually do it. He can actually have her divorce him without her even knowing it. And I'm saying, nah.
That's probably true. I would think like power of attorney is that great. Like some decisions have to be like that. Like it could be a situation where it's costing her too much and, she can't do it herself. That's what power attorney is.
I'm glad I brought it up because I'm confused. Yeah. I'm just thinking like, wow, you get married. It's like, to death do us part. And one of the guys says, hey, look, I know what I'm doing with her. Never mind. You know what? Anyone is doing
that. Yeah. Well, the thing is that he's not doing all he can, and somebody else has to come in and help. So, in a situation like that, there has to be ways to, get him out of the way so that he's not slowing you down when you're trying to help her. But he could be draining her funds or all kinds of things. There could be reasons for it. But, I'm just going on and on. I'm thinking about how vulnerable old people are right now because, we're kind of getting attacked, if you think about it. Like, that's what COVID's all about. And it's taken away our retirement when we really paid for that already. So, what else do you get anymore? And it's taken away everything, because our system is not going to be able to afford to people to retire and things. The other thing is, it's time for America to stand up and think for themselves, because you can't follow the leader anymore. The leader's taken us to hell. This election is a perfect example of the fraud in America. And I'll say it again, Trump wasn't allowed to cheat because he was being scrutinized. So if something happens now, it's going to look really bad that our system can't be together. Like, we have a Canada voting system, and they send our votes out to be counted in Spain. And I'm not even sure if they keep the ballots after they scan them into the thing that they send to have outsourced counted. And another thing was, they have this AI looking at character recognition for signatures and comparing them to the real signature that they might have somewhere on you. And the odds of them two matching is like, there's no way any two signatures match like perfectly. So yeah, so what they did was they had to bring it down to like 40% match so that they could get enough to go through. So you got to think how many got kicked out because of stupid things like this, that you can't have somebody just sitting there comparing signatures. Now, I could see if it was like something looking for fraud and, it was just something that, compares a bunch of stuff and kicks out anything that looks, suspicious. But you can't have it comparing signatures that's just fraud in itself to come up with a program like that. Like, you're throwing out voters for like stupid reasons and making it harder to get they could almost make that look like whose side they wanted to throw out and stuff. There's a lot of things to this, and we're in the programming age when, nobody knows what the program does because somebody else wrote it and you're not looking at it. And this year is going to be scrutinized, like whatever those programs were, somebody's going to get a copy of them and they're going to break them down and see exactly what happened here. That's the way it's going to go.
And are we going to find out?
I think we are. I think we're going to find out just for the value of America, just to know the truth. And whether we, you know, like do something about it or not is what America is worth. I think it's our time to, like, you know, make it our way.
Yeah.
You can have it your way. Isn't that what America was supposed to be to begin with? So they taught us that. They screwed up. You know, like, they, you can't just take it back after you say it was such a good thing. And really, if it's true that they've been cheating and lying and redacting and keeping the truth, you know, hidden, then all of this, like, you know, they stole the land from the natives. They, you know, finagled everything and made up most of the system. It should be given back to us, that's all. And we should have, like, a way that we don't waste all our money on stupid things and we start bringing it back to our children.
Well, I'm all for that when every other country does the same thing.
Yeah, there's no excuse for what America has been getting away with.
I mean, same for Canada. They need to get back, you know, they stole.
Yes, and we should satisfy the natives and the original people. You know, like, we put them through hell enough.
If the whole world did that, I'm in.
Go ahead. What's that?
If the whole world agreed to give back everything to the origins,
I think we have to. I think people act like you can't do something like that, but I think it makes us right again. Like, you know,
funny.
What's that?
Would be funny.
I think in a way that we're waiting for that. Like, they knew that the central bank wasn't going to last when they created it. We've been pushing it further than it could ever be pushed. You know, like, money just doesn't look right anymore.
Yeah.
And I think, I think we're heading for it anyway. And the Moors, like, I should bring it up again with Sargent stuff. But the Moors already had a treaty, and they were just waiting for us to, you know, like, screw up what we wanted to do. Because, you know, like, the Constitution, like Mike Gaddy says and stuff, it's been finagled. Like, all of this institution, whatever we created here, was what they could get away with until we, like, grew up enough to take it back and actually stand for ourselves. And I just think that's where we're at. And I don't care about all the confusion that they're making up with, you know, forced vaccines and coronavirus and wars and, you know, how many weapons and all the crap that they can come up with. The real truth is we have the technology to, like, do it right and fair. And why wouldn't everybody want it right? Like, who would want to let anyone get away with, like, the stuff that we've been doing? Why would you want to live behind that kind of stuff?
I think everyone feels like they're trapped on a roller coaster.
Yeah, and then you look at how much it costs us to pay for all of this nonsense and devilish shit, you know? Like, it's just, it's wrong to go against each other all the time and blame each other for everything. Because we can't just fess up and do it right.
Well, you know, I think, I feel like we're up against the next the shutdown. They're going to shut down. It's going to be another COVID shutdown.
And this time,
the businesses that survived, that actually survived the first wave, are going under, and everyone's going to end up. The whole world's going to end up on a government paycheck. And they're going to start dictating everything.
Yeah, and you really can't complain then because, you know, like, you don't get any food. You won't get enough to eat. You won't be able to afford any way to stay anywhere. Everything will be under control.
You're going to make everyone a welfare mother.
Yeah, and there's no reason for that. Like, it's so simple to just plant the seeds that we've been all, like, storing, you know, waiting for this day when we're allowed to plant seeds. You know, like, how many seeds have you saved in your life that you never planted?
I think I have about 50 of them.
But it's something like all your life, you always have some around that you kind of should do, but you're not allowed, and you know, yeah. You're always waiting to use them for some reason. And what if we all just said, heck, you know, like, who can tell you you're not allowed to grow a plant, you know? And then we use that plant to trade with, and then people are happier. Like, it definitely makes people happy.
Hey, what makes me happy, New Jersey just went legal.
Yeah, exactly.
I could walk it.
Yeah, you could stand on the other side of the bridge.
Yeah.
Legal. But you're already legal.
You won't
feel like it's so bad out in public anymore.
Now I can go down the shore. I don't have to worry about hiding this shit.
Crazy places. It's a great idea. You know, and that's the point that we should be making. It's like this whole thing was like a hoax that was all wrong. And now they're trying to still finagle it so they can make all the money on it instead of just saying, like, go ahead, plant your seeds.
Really? Just have fun. Get it wherever you can. Have fun. That's the way
to do it. Yeah, and we could actually stop paying for something that we pay for every month. It's just freaking ridiculous. That, you know, you're not allowed to plant a seed so that you can save $100 a month. I mean, I don't spend that kind of money, but a lot of people do. So, you know, like what I'm saying is that's why it's illegal, because it's such a good thing that, you know, they have to control it. And right now they're using it for their bailout, which is kind of rude, you know, like after you make it illegal so long and put people in prison, steal all their property. And then when you're going bankrupt, you decide to make it legal and make more money. That's kind of into it. It's just devilish, you know? Like
hell.
It's what hell would do to you.
Yeah.
Just string you out until you can't take it anymore. My point is, are we going to get to plant any seeds before we go?
Why not?
Yeah, I agree. Why not? I just heard this friend of my girlfriend's is she sells the hemp products and stuff, like gummies and things like that and stuff. And we looked into her business just recently, and it's out of Morrisville, which made me laugh.
Well, PA?
Yeah, and
North Carolina.
No, in PA. And so she's one of your neighbors, I think. And the funny thing is they grow all their own hemp. Like they have a license to do it and they run a store and they extract it themselves and stuff. Might even have a job, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
I think that's the future for a lot of people. Like they're talking a lot of work is involved, you know, with a lot of possibility. But, you know, with all of that change that's coming, you know, in electric motors and things, really America should be doing well. Like, there's no excuse for all this nonsense of lockdown and bringing us to our knees.
They're about to do it again. You said lockdown. That's the word. They're about to do it again.
Well, that's what the whole Biden initiative is. Like, as soon as he gets power, he's going to, you know, bring us down. And I think that's another wrong thing about this election. Like, I think they're so desperate to bring us down with the COVID that they couldn't allow anybody else to win this election. And I think that's what it's going to turn out like. And it's not about me being on Trump's side. It's about getting the truth. Like, I just want to see the truth.
I agree, man. It's not about being on Trump or whatever. That's the truth.
Yeah, and it's about what America stands for. So, you know, like, why should we follow all of the stuff that they've come up with if they're not even going to give us the truth?
Oh.
And I don't want to fight. I think that's what they want. I think that's what the game is, to get us all fighting. I think it'll be a peaceful, like, change, because it's what makes sense. It's like, if the media was lying to us, you know, like if Biden really is a criminal and he's only being put in as a presidential election so that you can't prosecute him, and then when he does get in, he'll pardon everybody that was going to end up getting prosecuted, then I just think that this is wrong, you know, like this is like the wrong reasons, you know, royalty. To have a choice. What's that?
It's like royalty.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the other part of it, that you're seeing how the private system works. How the people are really the corporations, and they're not the real people. And they can buy anything they want. They just print the money. So, you know, they don't have an idea of what it costs to get their way.
So ask yourself this. Why did Biden even bother even getting involved in running? He could have just sat on the side. I mean, just enjoyed his wealth, right, and faded away, and no one knows the difference. You know, does he think why would he do this? Is it because he thinks he's going to make more money? Is it greed?
I'm thinking he's that criminal that if he gets in, he's going to pardon all his friends, and that the whole game is to get him in just so that everybody gets pardoned. You know, like it's the craziest thought. You know, like, but that's how criminal these people are.
He's a thug.
Well, they have, you know, like money in their family and stuff, and they use it that way. And people, like, they trade when, you know, they have insider information and stuff. And it's like our government shouldn't be run that way anymore. Like, it's okay when it maybe first got started and stuff, but now you're talking in the billions that these people make, you know, in a short term.
And that's why you need term limits. Simple as that. And no salary beyond what your federal salary is for the position you're holding at the time. That's it. I think one term, no extra money.
I think the elders always want to have a chance to say something or do something or make up some new way of living. So why don't we just have it all volunteer?
Better yet. Isn't that better? And still, one term, man. One term, no time.
Money shouldn't be involved. Somehow, like, money should make a difference in our politics. Could you imagine something like that?
Yeah, I could. That's the only way it's going to work.
You know, money shouldn't be involved in the whole system, really, because if you did something as simple as plant a seed and everybody had enough to share, why would you be, you know, caring about how much somebody owes you or something?
You know, you'd all be building each other houses.
Yeah, you just multiply things all the time. And that's the funny thing about business. It's always making a profit and multiplying. But yet the people that are doing all the work don't end up getting a higher raise. It's like, it's ridiculous. You know, money has like doubled and tripled over the past couple of, you know, 10 years or so, but wages have stayed steady for like 30, 40 years.
Like, I don't have problems with people amassing money, all right? But I have a problem when they amass that money and they use it politically against other people. Quick example is, you have a small town at the bottom of a hill, okay? On the bottom of a mountain, all right? And a couple of people in that town get filthy rich, right, and they move to the other side of the road up on the mountain, okay, and then right underneath they build a freaking sewage plant that dumps on you at the bottom of the mountain.
Because they can, yeah.
Yes, you see that's
something like that. Is great. You need somebody that's poor so that you know how rich you are.
That mentality has to stop.
Well, that same mentality is when you find fault with each other so that you can feel like you're doing more than someone else. We're not supposed to be that way either, right?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, instead of them building on top of the mountain, you know, looking down on you, and then putting up a freaking steel mill right next to your neighborhood.
More people live in the suburbs where it's polluted, I know. The richer people live up on the mountain where you have fresh air.
Right. Would prefer them to put the steel mill somewhere like some spot like 100 miles away from, build a town for people to want to work at the steel mill. It's somewhere 100 miles from anywhere else. Lots of land in this country. And, I don't know. There's just ways to, you know, to amass massive quantities of money and not be a dick. And everyone's happy.
Well, I think America is getting to that point where, you know, like we're realizing how it gets when you let some people have more than others. And it really, it's not something like they worked for it and, got ahead like that. You know, like they didn't pull themselves up from their bootstraps or whatever the saying is. You know, like that happens a lot, but that's not the people that are trading people's lives and how much you make it work and things. Like those people come from, you know, where the money is already, where they won't let people like us in to make any changes. Like, isn't that what the whole thing is? Is it's like time for that kind of a change that the little people... They used to say that you have like a third grade education on the newspaper so that they could sell enough newspapers. Like they couldn't hire the education level much more than that. And so in a way, it's like that's the way everything should be written so that everybody can know what's going on instead of some college grade level so that you got to figure out what they're saying. So if America is so, like, you know, for the people, it should be totally understandable what you're reading and signing and doing. And you should be interested in what, you know, is going on and how it works because it's the right way to do things. You shouldn't be just guessing all the time if you're going to get in trouble for doing anything that you do next.
Yep.
You got to worry about everything you sign. This might ruin your life over it.
I signed lots of them.
What was that?
I signed lots of those things.
Yeah, you wonder what you're even signing.
Yeah.
There's too much to read.
Yeah, always is.
Yeah, how does that work? How many people read any of that?
Nobody. Well, I'm not, that's false.
Well, you can't really... You can't have it without reading it.
Well, you buy a lawyer, right? And the lawyer says, okay, thumbs up.
Yeah, that used to work until they got so expensive these days, right?
Oh, no. I mean, a lawyer will give you a thumbs up for probably $100, $120. Yeah, take the loan or, you know, buy that property or whatever. Thumbs up. Looks good to me. Now, if you want to spend $1,000 an hour, then the guy might read.
Yeah, I don't know. It's who you know with the lawyers, too. I've been through that, too.
Yeah, true.
And they're into real estate these days. I think it's interesting that they take 55% of your, that way everything goes back to the state.
55% for what?
Of your inheritance.
Yes, I heard that too. That sounds about right. That's very kind of them, isn't it? Good joke. Oh yeah, I'm dealing with that right now. I'm dealing with that.
Yeah.
The state sent a letter to my wife, not her mother.
Yeah. And it's just enough that they own the estate now, and you have to buy it back out from under them. And really, it's their choice at 55% whether they'll even sell it back to you.
And they probably hire the guy who guesstimates what it's worth.
Yeah, they do. But the way it's set up is like you really have to give everything back to the state when people die off now, so that we could be going into a rental world where you'll never own again. And I think at this point we might be able to print our houses on a 3D printer and not really cost anything, like actually save some of the environment by getting rid of some of the plastic or something. Like, that's the kind of technology we really have. You can make things automatic and have the homeless people bring in plastic even.
I know. Don't you think it's time to redo or revisit Levittown and actually, like, do it right this time? Put together houses one a day or bag them up.
Time for something like IKEA where even a homeless person can afford to have a nice house and just put it together themselves with a couple of friends.
Oh, Levitt did it one house a day. I think we could do that too.
First of all,
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
And we are back with the Answers with Scott and Why Not. And we are all listener supported here. I'm hearing that, you know, during the holiday seasons, we don't do as well. And really, probably because of the voting and all the other things, the future is not really that great this year. Like, Santa might not be able to afford anything but coal. So it's going to be a little hard, but we really are the witnesses here of, you know, like, what is going on around us. And if you watch the lamestream media, you're really not going to know what's going on because it's all programming. And you got to wonder, how do you have a life that's just made up by somebody else that, you know, you don't even know what really is going on around you? Like, why is it like that, Scott? What do you think? Like, no, maybe he's not back with me yet. But maybe it's just that, you know, like, our parents didn't know any better either. And it's, like, time for us to realize that there's more to life than what somebody thinks. Like, it's up to us to think that there's, like, I don't know, so much more that we can do. I think it's funny when we, like, I watched a movie about superheroes, and it was all about the psychology behind it. They were trying to talk them out of what their gifts were. And it was this question of, you know, did they really do it or not? And that's kind of what's going on here. We're being, like, psychoanalyzed, and they decide whether or not we can do anything great. And it's really like they break our potential and keep us from all the possibility. And even cleaning up the mess that we've made so far, it's like too expensive to clean it up. And it really, because it's like all these special officials and things. But, you know, like, we could just throw other people at it and come up with better ways to, you know, do it for less. But we don't get those kind of choices. I hear you're back with me, Scott.
Oh, wow. Am I not noisy?
No, you're actually pretty quiet. But, you know, like, I think everything is about to change, don't you? Like, don't you just feel it? Like, before we get too old or something?
Well, yeah, I can feel it. It's in the air. Something's in the air.
I almost think it was because of us, in a way. It's like we've seen it all at this point. And it's just time to see the ending, too.
Well, I got to plug the hijacker. Maybe this makes me laugh, but I mean, I don't think he was right. I think the shit came down. I think the clampdown happened. It's like, he was funny, man. He did say that stuff right when the China virus started. He was hyping about that. I just wanted to get that one in there.
I think you're right. I think a lot of things that Rev Radio has said are starting to come true, and we're starting to be valuable here, right?
Yeah. Well, it's a great medium, you know. Once again, it's a great medium to be on. It's probably the last shot of freedom of speech. It'd be the toughest one to get rid of.
I think it's a perfect medium because in America, it's like it takes all types to you know, come up with a really good plan. And that's what Rev Radio is all about. It's all the different people all around the world, even. You know, like, we actually do come to one place and talk about what it feels like.
Why? I mean, I think alternative radio could have a better name. How about like a freedom of speech radio? What alternative sounds like it's something like, you know, off the norm. Or, you know, I'm just saying that's how they classify this medium, right? Alternative radio.
They want you to think that it's something wrong, something that's not the norm. You know, like, not what's programmed. Like, it's an alternate route.
Real people radio, maybe, you know? Real people talking radio. But alternative just gets me. That kind of I don't know. It bugs me.
Yeah, it bugs you in the way that you don't want to be different. You know, like most people want to fit in. That's what life is really a problem with life. That's why we group together. What's that?
Debatable. I don't mind being different.
No, I think that's the objective of life, is to come up with something different. You don't want to be the same as everything else. You don't want to just blend in. We all want to be unique. That's what's so special about life. Like, you don't know what you're going to get in that box of chocolates.
That box of Cracker Jack.
Yeah, you don't get the toy you used to get.
Yeah, you know, I need to find out. I didn't mention it. I haven't had a Cracker Jack in a long time.
That's a big difference. It's kind of a shame. But everything's like that. I think you get less too and stuff. Okay.
Well, I got history. History's real. I have a relative. The picture of the of Patton in the Jeep. Famous picture of Patton in the Jeep waving. Right. That's my relative driving the Jeep.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's
amazing. Just got notified that by one of my cousins.
Look at you.
I was funny because I always liked that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's how special we all really are, and we don't know it, right?
Well, I mean, I'm connected to John Lennon and the Beatles. In the third person, because my brother was hanging out with one of the girls who was a star in England. I'll think of her name for a show there. Helen Shapiro, she was a big star back in like 62, 63. And so he was hanging out with her, one of them. And she did a tour of the Beatles in 62.
That's pretty cool.
He's 40 years famous.
So you didn't know about that, right, when you were growing up, right?
No, but this is like about 10 years ago when he said her name.
Yeah, you knew.
He said, who Helen Shapiro is? Excuse me. I said, well, yeah, of course I do.
Yeah.
Well, I know her. And he starts, whatever. Anyway, I never got introduced to her. I could have. She was in Philadelphia for a couple months.
Well, that's very cool. But that's how, like, big we all really are, right? Isn't it how close we could be to, you know, like, all these famous people? Like, they're not that separated from us, really.
Smaller.
Yeah. Actually, when you start traveling, you start to realize that it's actually really small. There's not a lot of places to go, even after a while. Maybe that's what they don't want you to know. So, I do think it's like that, though. It's like, it's amazing how important everyone really is, and you just don't know that when you're finding something wrong with each other. You know, like, you wouldn't think that way if you found out later that they were someone special.
It just shows you that we're all people. If this woman was hanging out with the Beatles in 62, 63, right? I mean, the Beatles were real people, so they're just like us. We're all just people. It's all hype. It blows it out of proportion.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best messages, is to show how we're just like anyone else, and we should actually be able to stand up to anyone. You know, like, our leaders aren't that much higher than us that we can't talk straight up to them and stuff.
Well, for the most part, they're just like us.
Well, there's this thing where they don't have the time for everyone. And really, I think they do. I think that's the way it should be. You know, like, there's a lot of changes that are going to happen soon, because, like, life isn't so stressful. like we were brought up this way to like fight for a living and who's better at like putting up with all the stress and stuff. But I think we're going to get to a point where we can be happy with like, you know, how much we have to go through and how much we get out of it. Like if it was up to the people, like you would make up a life that was like that, where you're not stressed out, you're not overworked, and you make enough to get by. Well, you could always, you know, stress yourself out for more, but it should be worth it to do that too. And I don't think that's complicated. I think what it is when you say it's what the market will bear, that when you start to think about that a while, it's what they can get away with, what they'll put you through, how much more they make on us than we get out of it and stuff. And it's really not supposed to be set up that way. Everybody's supposed to be happy. So we've just gotten good at, like, making money rather than keeping people happy.
It was hard to really take any job too serious when you realize that, like, people were, like, putting money in the stock market to try to make money off you, like you were a farm animal. And people were making, like, 50 times what you were making, and they were just investing money. You know, just dropping $100,000 in and trying to make quick, you know, or dropping $1 million and trying to make a quick million.
Yeah, you can't make $1 million. Grand or
right. Yeah. You know, it's like when you think, when you start thinking, like, when you realize you're just a freaking pig in a pig pen.
The pawn on the board.
The pawn on the board. That's awesome. Pawn on the board. It's really tough.
There's no openings at the top.
Well, the opening always is to start your own business. But like that's, you know, it's not. Once again, if you start a business that's successful, then you have to start making life and death decisions for employees. And, you know, well, the whole freaking game. I'd be happy as having a business. You know, I should have made a business that was just a one-man show or a family deal.
I think that's the future, is like one-man businesses, you know, like the way these 3D printers work and stuff. You could run a shop just by yourself and stuff. And, you know, do most of the things yourself. Hire people when you need them or something.
Yeah, this 3D printer, making a house out of a 3D printer.
Yeah, they can do it nowadays.
So
you can do a car then, if you did panels and stuff and just, you know, fit it together like an IKEA type thing. Right?
Well, I start thinking of the plumbing. I mean, are we talking this? Is that a separate issue? Plumbing, you know, and running the wires, you know, electricity. I mean, is that a different?
You mean to build a car or build a house?
Build a house or a car. I mean, we start dealing with a.
Yeah, the plumbing is probably a separate part that you'd have to do, but these days you just kind of glue it all together because of the PVC piping, so it's kind of like an erector set, too. Like these days, you look up everything on YouTube and see how easy it is. You could probably build one of those little homes in a couple of months or something and be satisfied. And that's kind of the point of life, is to be satisfied sometime, not to have to work all the time and never get to the time that you can take it easy. Like how about these days? COVID hits and everybody loses their retirement that they put in for. Like who would see that coming, right?
I mean, it's always been on the back of my mind that they would throw them out, that they would somehow try to annihilate most of the senior citizens.
And the stock market, you know, putting all of our retirement there.
Stock market bugs me.
Know, they started that out as like a little group of friends that, you know, were betting on each other, like how kind of like evil can be towards other people getting involved with it. They would like raise it up and then crash it when they wanted to and stuff.
I know, and see, and behind the backs of the other stockholders try to get 51%. I mean, it's just a little badly there.
Yeah, it was a game to these people that started it. It was like, you know, their little gentleman's game, you know. It wasn't about the money. It was about, you know, how much power they have and stuff to manipulate things. I love that word, manipulate. It really makes a point.
Puppet.
Yeah, marionettes. It's that part in the song where it says some people are possessed.
I think marionette teacher's pet. It's a lyric in some.
Well, you can be possessed by all of your things and all of the wants for things and never to be satisfied. That's all possessive stuff. You know, like, it's like, when do you take some time with your children and stuff? It's a big choice these days.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking it's like most people want to save the world, but I'm really, most people want to live in peace, all right? But I'm starting to think that, like, most people are possessed.
Well, because if you can't take time for your children, you're kind of being possessed by, you know, trying to get them a future. And, you know, like, look at how it's played, like, we get played by it. You know, it's like, it's kind of betting on, you know, like, this evil thing that we're dealing with. Instead of making it into something more guaranteed, like, we're betting against ourselves, whether or not we even get to a future.
Well, I've been possessed my whole life because... No, really. Because there's always things that have, like, taken me from me. You know? That's taken me from being my true being. Particularly jobs. You know? Something that possesses you, and it does.
Yes, I had a thought when we were talking about it back a little bit. Like, you know, you never had a job that was, you know, something that really mattered. You could go get another job for what you were making it where you were at. There was no career in it. There was, you're always getting laid off. It was just the time that we were in, you know, where you have to have a couple of different careers just so you can kind of have choices and things.
Look how it's going on now.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's getting worse and worse. That's to guarantee a future for your children, right? You got to be that creative in a way and put yourself through all that. But then you don't get time with the children. You know, I tried to start my own business and run two jobs and stuff, you know. You didn't have time with the children.
Yep.
And you couldn't rely on work because you were always getting laid off or wondering if you're going to make enough money to make it. You didn't even have time to look for other work that could make you more money. Yep. You know, these days you might have a little bit of a chance with online to find higher paying jobs whenever you can.
But in ways, AT&T was the last place that ever really, like, I mean, it possessed me, but it didn't rule me. It was the last place that ever ruled my life. And, like, it was like with AT&T, it's like, you know, we didn't buy a house, you know, and it's like, you know, things fell apart. You didn't know, because you always get laid off. But after that, I pretty much walked out of every job. I just jumped off the cliff.
Let's see,
I never let anything stop me from buying something or from, like, doing what I wanted to do. And I walked. You know, I never lived in fear of losing a job ever again.
Because of being laid off all the time, like, you realized, you know, how it affects you.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's part of it.
Yeah, I think it was a good lesson in the long run. It's just interesting the times that we were in, because we started out with unions and they were trying to get rid of all the unions and things and to, you know, like, come on, doggy. And, you know, like, we changed the world in a way, because we didn't have Blue Cross and Blue Shield anymore. You know, like, the healthcare system all changed. You had to pay out, like, with premiums and things. made it, you know, like a lot less that you were making hourly in a way. You know, to always be betting on your healthcare and stuff. And that's what has to change too. You know, like that's stuff that you're going to have to put out for anyway. Like it should be part of your job. That's the way it used to be, right?
It certainly was. Your employer covered your health coverage and, you know, and
even gave you one less worry.
Yeah, well, it was a way to get you to work for them and be loyal to them. And once they realized you didn't have it, once they realized they had you by the balls, it didn't matter anymore. Because now you're paying for it, you don't like it, you'll find another freaking job. One time they appreciated you. You know, they wanted to take care of you. They wanted you to like them.
I think there was a family business type thing back in the 50s and stuff, like where they cared about the employees like it was family.
Oh, well, you worked at the mill. I mean, did they take care of you? I mean, seriously, I mean, it was hell on earth, right? But did they take care of you?
Yeah. Oh, real well, because it was dangerous and stuff. Lots of safety issues. Yeah, they had great coverage. Geez, are everything safety-wise that you could think of. The highest cost, too, for safety.
I mean, but they took care of your medical, right?
Yeah, they gave you cost of living raises. That was the last time I heard of cost of living, where you actually saw a raise because of it. Yeah, he would every year he'd get more vacation, you know, like every year you put in. So, you know, like it used to always add up to a long-term career. And then when we went to AT&T, it was, you know, like the electronics people, the technicians, they pumped so many of them out there that it became a simple control thing. That's why we were always getting laid off. You know, like you get less benefits that way. We weren't getting 40-hour weeks at some point, too. So you get less benefits.
Yeah, well, I was out of that before that happened.
Yeah, and then they started playing with the testing of drugs and stuff, and that was another big factor and stuff.
Yeah, that kept me on a low profile job.
Yeah, you have to love it, you know, like what you're up against, kind of. One thing after another. You know, when we started out, like, you didn't even need a license that much. You didn't need insurance that much. You know, like, you could actually not get in that much trouble, even. And then we watched it change to no fault, and everybody's insured and stuff.
Well, that's the perversion of the Constitution. It's lawyers just branching out laws into the rabbit hole, inventing new court cases, getting new payoffs, and everyone's insuring themselves.
What it is, the paper world. You know, like where the paperwork gets so much that you can't even read all the laws. You don't even know how many you're breaking every day. And that's just the way that everything works. You know, like if you think about how much money is spent on the legal system and stuff. It's no wonder they don't want to dismantle it and stuff. And it's funny because if you paid better, you know, and you had better work, you'd have less legal problems. You know, why would you get into legal problems with each other if you had enough money to take care of things more? You wouldn't be stealing from each other. So it's kind of set up, if it's going to be set up with what the market can bear, it's going to be set up with what you can get away with too.
Don't like that, what you can get away with.
Yeah, well, if you're going to make it like a struggle, then people are going to add what you can get away with. If you make it easier to live, then people won't want to go that far to, you know, get away with things. They'll do the right thing for each other.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad place. It's just the way we're being squeezed. We're being forced into it, making it into a bad place. And if you look at this election and stuff and the way America's been going, that's what's going on. They're forcing us to fight over everything and to, like, just, you know, making it so horrible that, you know, we want to fight. And really, when you look around, America's doing really well. I can't see what the media is trying to tell us that we're involved in.
I think it's the new world order. I think it's a world government is what's taking place.
Yeah, well, even all this vaccine stuff, it's like they can't force you to get a vaccine. They can't tell you you get no choice. They can just scare you, you know, by getting everybody all worked up and you know, finagling it over it, you know, like getting everybody all going. That's enough to make it like you get sick anyway.
We're just in trouble. You know, they're doing more tests that are coming up with more phenomenal numbers of people testing positive. And all you can say is the hospitals are what? It's like 10% of, you know, of what they can handle.
Yeah.
Well, and so this is just not... This,
all right. Look at it this way. The hospitals are making a ton of money and the insurance companies are paying. Like, they're turning people away. They're making so much money. For the whole last year, they've been packed. That's what I think's really going on. Like, you can't even get the procedures you need and stuff. Like, they're deciding who's going to live longer and who's going to pass away these days if we can't get our medical attention.
Well, dead people do count. Dead people's lives matter. Because God knows a million of them voted for Biden.
And none of them voted for Trump? That's a little biased, right?
Yeah. I mean,
wouldn't that be funny if they don't find any that voted for Trump that were dead?
I know.
So isn't that really the joke that's going on? We're being played like what our real intent is or how we treat each other. Like the election is just showing us how bad America really is to each other if we can't come up with the truth.
At the least, that is the truth, man. Just showing how bad we really are. We're just a bunch of pirates. It's a country full of crooks.
Yeah, we should really fix ourselves too when we're fixing the election. I mean, when we're not fixing the election this time.
Yeah, that's right. You gotta watch what you're saying about fixing the election now.
Oh, yeah, they'll blame me. I could be a foreign influence too. We'll find a way because I'm Italian or something.
Mafia did it.
Yeah, it's in my family.
Yeah. Guilty by association.
Yeah, it's in my ex's family, too. I was taught well, right?
Yeah.
I think the whole thing is funny when we can't be, like, happy about, you know, like, what we have here. America was such a great thing. Like, we grew up happy, didn't we?
Well, I rode my bicycle without a helmet.
Yeah, we were living the real Truman story.
Yeah.
Our parents were all, like, pleased, too. Everything was pleasant.
Yeah, all the schools looked, remember all the elementary schools looked the same?
Yeah. All the testing was, everything was the same. Oh, I love these dogs. They're part of the show now. I go back to quiet stuff next week. So it should be interesting.
Wow. Quiet?
Yeah, away from the city. Go back to camping out on a boat.
Really?
Yeah, I ordered another anchor too. I found out that you can get them for like $115 or something. And they're a pretty big anchor. So I think it's pretty easy now, like to order things. I mean, they make them in the country, so you know, like they'll probably not stop being able to get that. And I kind of laugh, like everything is so convenient now. And that's when we want to fight over everything. You know, like we had it so good. And this COVID thing is really like, I don't know what to say. It's got to be made up.
I know it's made up. It's part of the plan and it's working. New World Order. It's part of that, man, because I can just tell by what's coming out of the lips of the Trojan horse that we're going back into Paris environmental deal and back World Health Organization, and you know we're just right back into the planet game.
Yeah, actually twice as much too. We're gonna go head over heels the other way. Yeah, I was agreeing with you that Trump would be another 4 years to get, you know, prepared for whatever they could do to us next. But the system is like getting really pissy with us because we're figuring out too much, and they really want to like push this thing this time. Like I think they're willing to lie.
And you said that a year ago. You said that close to a year ago that we're tipping them off. And they might do something fast. That goes with that hijacker stuff.
So yeah, exactly. The more that we figure out, the faster they have to do things.
Yeah, and they did. And they did it. This happened. And then bang. And bang. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and every time you figure something out and you kind of break their will, they pull something else. Like this thing with taking all the media, you know, like we could take it back if we really thought about it right now because of the executive order. And if that's true, you're going to see something big happen just to distract us from something like that. Like, I really think that the Creator gave us all of these little ways out right now. And it's just so that the world can see that there is a Creator. You know, like we're not stuck. We have ways out, and it's really whether we choose to use them or not. And I really think everything's set up for the good side to, you know, really see the truth right now. Like when you look at the cycle, it has to cycle from good to bad. It can't just keep staying bad. Now we went from like nuclear bombs to like, you know, a time of plenty. We're supposed to have a time of plenty. That doesn't mean more nuclear bombs. You know, like nuclear bombs was the worst that we could be towards each other. Like we came up with a way to destroy the world. Now, don't you think we should have a cycle after that that's like, you know, the opposite of that, where we actually feel how good the world is before we destroy it? Give us a choice here. Do we want to keep it or do we want to get rid of it? I think it's the choice. It's the first chance that the world has really gotten a choice to, like, you know, decide if we want government to control our minds. Like, I think that's why we're all in the streets right now complaining that, you know, it doesn't have to be like this. That,
half of America's in the streets. Half of America wants to be controlled. They want a government check. They just want.
I don't think so. Nobody wants to be under control. There isn't something that the Democrats are all wild and crazy in the public. You know, like there isn't two parties that are different that are so bad for each other.
I think it's not. They're not fighting to be under or voting to be under control. They're fighting to be in control. Half the country is going to be in control, and half the country is going to be not in control. But then, you know, That's not fair to say.
But I don't think it's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is that we talk about it all the time, and we waste a lot of time, but nothing ever happens. And then we, you know, like get all excited, and we don't get anything else done. You know, like we should be doing other things.
I just want to add one more thing. No, go on.
Go ahead. No, but isn't that what the election year just did? Was like took all our time away. Now we're kind of screwed. Like anything could happen to us now.
Well, I'm looking at this. The election was going to take place anyway, and what happened was from the creator just exposing the fraud, just making it headline
news. Yeah, I totally agree. And I kind of think that there's like these little things in the mix right now, like that executive order and stuff, so that the people can actually get back the country, because it should be that way right now. Like, I don't know how to put it. It's just, you know, time for us to see the truth. Even if we get screwed, at least we saw the truth.
But we're not going to see that truth to after they've already decided the election. Like Biden will be president for a year and a half, 2 years before they. Or he'll, first off, he won't even be president. He's not even going to make it to swear. I thought he'll be dead in the spring if he does. But
why do you think that?
Well, I guess another thing. I'm watching a ticker tape. You know, and my wife brought this up earlier in the day about when his son died, he got involved in his cancer program. Something anyway, he sponsors. He was like the head of this. Make a long story short, the hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars that went in that were donated, no money went to any cancer patients, and all the money went to the employees who were running. You know, she informed me that earlier, and I'm watching this shit go by the screen. So I'm just saying, this guy's a freaking crook. I don't think he's going to make it. You know, Harris is going to be president by spring. I'm serious. I can't. In my mind, I can't guarantee that he's going to make it to the after.
So you're saying because of something he did to somebody that
it's a culmination of things that he's done. You know, with the Hunter and the Chinese deals and the Romania and Ukraine. I'm just saying, and all the other dirty stuff he's been involved with in his family. I can't see him. I can't see him accepting a presidency. You know, I can't see him even having the balls to stand up there and swear in. If he even has the mental capacity, because he's. That's how I feel about it.
He has to be, because he'll go to jail if he doesn't go all the way.
It's gonna be weekends at freaking Bernie's. This guy.
You gotta love it, right? Like, what are the odds?
I should be laughing. I'm not laughing right now. You just let me crack me up. I probably will. I'll probably get back to my normal me, but right now I'm like, I'm in shock. I'm wondering, like, what is going on, man? This is bigger than anything I've ever. This is big, because it doesn't take an intelligent person to see that this guy doesn't know what the frick he's talking about, okay? And he's a freaking puppet, okay? And when you look at his background, he's just a thug. This guy is he's low class, man.
Well, I feel that way because I haven't heard much about him in like the 48 years he's been around. You know, it's kind of odd. Like, you know, if he did so much for us, we would have heard a lot more before now. I don't know how to take this whole thing. Like, the thing that I get really upset about is that he could be criminal to the point that he shouldn't even be running for president. And I'm surprised, like, we just had this with Hillary. You know, and pretty much she was criminal, like, no matter how you look at it. Like, what is with that? Like, we can't find people that aren't criminals these days?
We, yeah. It's finding one. Just find me one. One of these career politicians. Just find me one. Just really high up in the government that isn't ridiculous. Doesn't have a deal with Google or have a deal with the.
Yes, deal with the devil. Yeah. I just don't want to say it these days. That's the funny thing, too. We don't want to talk about, you know, whether or not there is, like, a possessed world around us that actually does affect the elections and things.
It has to be.
Yeah, these people wouldn't do what they did, you know, with the fraud and stuff that's going on if there wasn't some kind of, like, possessive way about the world. It's not just the money system.
This is what's going on here, all right? It's like this. You're at home. You're in bed with your next-door neighbor's wife, okay? Your wife walks into the bedroom and says, "Oh, my God! Oh, my God!" All right? And your next-door neighbor's wife just gets dressed and walks out. Your wife's freaking out, and she's screaming, like, "You bastard, you this, you that." And you're like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, how could you do that with another woman?" Almost. And you're saying, "What woman? What woman are you talking about? I didn't see any woman." That's what's going on.
Wait a second.
Man, I tell you, I would love to be on the national debate. I had the country roaring. They're throwing stuff at me.
I've got a surprise guest that wants to come on for a second. Should be interesting if I pull it off fast enough, right?
Yeah.
I'm kind of rusty at this kind of stuff, too. It might work. He's like, "How could I do that?" Here we go. And we are down to the last couple of minutes here. It's kind of funny.
I don't have much video because I'm in the dark. When I'm smoking a cigarette, you can see me, but my glass is floating in the dark.
I can see the cigarette, yeah. But if you could turn off the video, I don't know how much bandwidth
okay,
I have.
I don't know how to do that yet.
There we go.
So this is Tim, a longtime friend from like the beginning when I was around here. We got about 10 minutes left. This is Scott, my best friend from fifth grade.
I'm Tim Kaiser. I used to host Revising Reality on the station, I think, right? Or not on the station, yeah. But...
Hi.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't want to, like, it's only got 10 minutes, so I don't want to, like, jump in line or just start talking, but I went through a crazy episode in the mental ward recently and came to the conclusion that there needed to be some work done in the house of this earth, and that I might be the one to try to start doing something about that. Be the change that you want to see in the world. I took that to a completely different level on an LSD mescaline trip that landed me in the insane asylum for a couple days to a week till I got myself out of there. But it was to prove to the system and to myself that I was sane enough to handle what I had become, what I became was a symbiotic with my primary entity.
Was this your first experience?
This is – no, but – this was the first time I ever tried peyote.
Oh, nice.
It was in the LSD, and I didn't know it. And it made the trip possible because what I did was something I think only Timothy Leary or somebody has actually done is I poured all my energy into the stuff and like let it become part of me inside my own body. And that was what set me apart from like everybody else at the time was that I learned how to do that. And I did it very, very quickly. I became the master of my own inner house. And then once that happened, things got crazy because the thing that nobody wants to talk about came after me directly and attacked me. And I took it in and used it against itself, basically.
Interesting. I just...
You would love the books.
Go ahead, Scott.
Real quick, there's like three books. Don Juan, Dana's Don Juan. And the book is about peyote. There you go. If you're familiar, cool. Very interesting.
Been reading it. I read it leading up to the events that happened in my life recently.
And cool. Peyote is hard to get. It's like only one place here on the border in Texas and Mexico that you can get it. Like it's about 100 miles from me.
Wow. See, I was really surprised when I found it out that I found out because I didn't know that it was laced with anything. So, like, I'm the idiot, but it really turned out in my favor because that's the thing that made the LSD possible trip to what I did because I combined the two into a new substance inside me.
Well, it's interesting because peyote was mescaline, wasn't it, Scott? Like,
yes, back
in the day. And so, you know, like, we're some of the survivors of, you know, when mescaline was around still. Because it hasn't been around since then, like, since the 70s and stuff.
So, like, I went through some crazy world-shattering shit recently. And I literally screamed at the gods themselves from Earth and told them the time was up. And they didn't like that very much, but they kind of wanted me to do this somehow anyway, all of them.
I agree. The time is up. You know, like it's the new year coming up is the beginning of the Aquarian age. So, you know, it's the pouring out, like everything's plenty now. So,
wow, so I did not realize that.
The time is up.
Holy crap, you were... See, I was worried. I'm worried that I'm going too fast. You know what I mean?
No, I think we're going too slow and we're going to be shocked by, you know, the amount of changes that are going to happen next because, you know, you got to catch up.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe everybody was ahead of me this whole time until recently.
I think we're all waking up with this election. You got to realize this was the shock of our lives, you know?
Like, yeah.
We don't have an election system. We don't have a way of voting. We just have a bunch of criminals.
Exactly. And then they would say, oh, drain the swamp. Well, I want to see it. You know what I mean? I want to see it in my lifetime, not millions of lifetimes from now.
Yeah, that's starting to look like a hoax, too.
Yeah, right. That's what I've always said.
Yeah.
I always said that, you know, the powers that be are just playing at your heartstrings. They're never going to do anything. But, you know, they might if they get pushed hard enough.
I agree that Pat was
Go ahead, Scott.
Where's the mercy? Where's the mercy? The strings, feels like.
Until we realize how it works, and what you just said, Tim, was funny because it's like you found the guy that's pulling the strings and you're pissed off because you realize that there's a guy up there.
Yes, and that was what I was so worried about in coming up was that I had to become like equal to that before I could demand anything, and I did it. I was a little bit soon in demanding what I was demanding because there was literally a UFO over my house, and I said, "Hey, listen, I need support here, and you guys better be in line because I'm coming to take charge." And they didn't believe me, but they believed me. That was weird. Oh, the lights aren't on.
I do say all the time that we are equal to anything else that's out there. You know, like we're supposed to have just as much potential and we're not supposed to back down and act like something's got more on us or better intelligence or, you know, has some better way of life. We're supposed to all have a way of life of our own, just as important.
Yes, it is. And it's very difficult to do when you're being pushed in all kinds of directions at once.
It's a game. Like when we realize that something is playing this world, like in our dreams, it gives us all this crazy stuff to be like. And we end up being like that because we don't know how to be ourselves. Like we're always programmed.
Absolutely. And that's one of the big things that I learned how to do was actually find the core, become my true self. Like, that was difficult to find you know, the distance of the ancestor chain and where you've lived before, it makes you like a little overwhelmed in one physical body going, I did all that in other lifetimes, but I got to commit to this one. And that's the big trick.
Well, the trick is it's something new all the time. That's what life should be. And, you know, like to find that you could be something new, you know, because like everything before you is kind of like, you know, what somebody else did. You want to be different. You want to be something unique.
Absolutely. That's exactly thank you.
Go ahead, Scott.
I'm really hung up on this. I know I'm like I'm 64, but I really want to do some mescaline with my acid at the same time.
I want to go to the border and get my own.
Yeah.
Well, I would have liked to have done that. I would have liked to mix masculine and acid. That's brilliant.
Well, you see here, I actually put the spirit of that, of that stuff, what I did, into my quartz banger by accident, sort of. You see, I have a quartz banger, which is, has the new kids say, that's how you smoke weed out of a, or you smoke like dabs, you know, like wax or shatter, which, you know, just.
I have a marijuana. I got a license. I know.
Oh, nice. I know. Okay. So anyway, like I have a banger for it, which you just may heat it with a torch, you know, and you drop the stuff in there and you pull it out of the bomb. Well, I put the LSD and mescaline in there, and I probably shouldn't have. It was sort of like an experiment. It was an experiment on my part. Listen, and that thing now, if I smoke out of it and I put.
I love it.
Wow. You get feedback. That's awesome.
It is.
I remember the mescaline being so much different than the LSD back in the day. And it was so hard to find. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And from your section.
Yeah, and one time I was at a gathering and they were smoking it. And I got some of that, and that was interesting.
I didn't do that.
Yeah. See, so you should do a road trip, Scott. Come out.
Domestically, was important because of the spirit world.
Yes, you also have rights to it because of native. You know, if you have any native in you, because it's part of your life ceremony in a way to unlock the other world too. Like, isn't that interesting?
Well, that was definitely. I want to say that conversation that. Tim, I'm glad I was here to get to meet
because that
just blew me away. Because I know the mescaline high was special, you know, and the acid was all, and the LSD was always special to me. And it's like to combine them both, I could see where that would might push it to another level, you know, might take it to another level, which is very cool because I you know what I mean? Because as open as I think my mind is, that would have just been another, might have just connecting me a little further. Maybe let me see something I haven't seen. That's all. I'm a little bit hung up on that.
Well, what's interesting is, like, it's something that grows in the desert, and it's not, you know, like, you don't see it anywhere. It's something that you should see more. And it was the original native stuff, you know, and you do have some rights to it and stuff.
Like,
yeah, and they're using it in the elders nowadays to, like, you know, like, make you feel better and, like, microdosing people and stuff. Even people, like, in the work environment and stuff, it makes you, like, in a better mood and things. Like, just microdosing. Like, not really enough to be tripping and stuff.
Do people know it?
Yeah, it's a therapy actually now, and it's a therapy for psychology too, you know, to help people with psychological problems. So it's a new world, and I think Oregon just went all legal on all drugs.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, mushrooms and narcotics.
Yeah, and I kind of think they should, because it's your life and it's not like you're affecting somebody else. I mean, I can see rules when it's affecting somebody else's choices, you know, and changing their lifestyle because of you or something.
Yeah, it comes back to, like, it's not guns to kill people, it's people killing people. And so if you have those kind of drugs laying around the house, you should keep them properly locked up, you know, or, you know, where kids or, you know, can't get a hold of it. So drugs should be legal.
Yes. Lee, I think it's a, you know, it's a new time that we've done the experiment, you know, with the hippies or whatever, you know, and we realize how all of this stuff plays out. And I think we're actually responsible people that we can make decisions for ourselves. And you don't have to be stealing our properties away and stuff over drug laws and taking our jobs and things. Like, there should be a way to manage everything if we're doing it right and for the right reasons and things.
I can't take my car.
Well, it's supposed to be a medicinal thing anyway. It's not supposed to be some drug or, you know, some addiction or whatever they made it into in the 60s to make us all look bad. Like, that was a war on your teenagers. That really was. It wasn't a drug war. Like, aren't we still being persecuted for, you know, the hippie generation?
Well, yeah, they took care of us. They swept us under the carpet. Well,
it is the way.
I don't need a razor tonight. I'm walking out of here in good mood. Peace out, world.
Need some masculine. Place to find.
Yeah. Really help your day, but be good.
Get high.
Get high. Get high.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.